Well, now we come to the Recovery Version Bible. You know, in the during the Thyatira period, during the Catholic Church period, the Bible is interpreted by the priests. But after Reformation, the new tradition came out, which is to interpret the Bible according to the Bible, and which is the tradition that we inherit, which is what we believe the Bible should be interpreted by the Bible. So today we come to a matter of cross-references. This has a lot to do with that. Because with cross-references, you can compare different passages together. And you can actually see that my Bible actually explains the Bible itself. So Martin Luther, I think we all know Martin Luther, the famous reformer, he has a famous quote. He said, the Bible is the best expositor of the Bible. Amen. The Bible is the best expositor of the Bible. Okay, so today we're going to come to the cross-references and the charts of the Recovery Version Bible. And I have the Recovery Version Bible for many years, but after, you know, preparing this presentation, I just fall in love with my Recovery Version Bible all the more. And you'll see why. All right. Okay, how about we read together the first point? Many study Bibles have cross-references, which link related passages of the Bible together. So today, if you go to book, you know, a Christian bookstore, look up some study Bible, particularly called study Bibles, most of them have references. And if you, you know, look into those references, most of the time, they link together passages that are similar or the same in terms of facts, historical facts, you know. So, which is pretty straightforward. I mean, if you should read the Bible, you know some, you know, two stories that sound very similar, so you link them together. However, but that's not what the Recovery Version Bible does only. But the Recovery Version Bible does that, but he does something else and something even more. And let's read them together. The Recovery Version contains over 26,000 cross-references, leading the reader not only to similar expressions and facts of history and geography as do most cross-references in other study Bible, but also to other portions of the scriptures that relate to the same spiritual truth and divine revelation. Right, I'll just highlight these two words, same spiritual truths and divine revelations. These, you can say, are the kernel hidden underneath the shell of God's Word. God's Word is like a walnut, right? Everybody can see the shell, but not everybody can see the kernel. And the kernel is passed down to us generation after generation to all the Bible expositors. But these are open up to us by the Recovered Version. Now we're going to see some proof, see some examples. Okay, how about Ephesians 1:10? Let's do this. Let's just read the Recovery Version. Let's read the New International Version. So this, as Brother Chen Wei shared last night, this is one of the most popular version among the evangelical Christian today. That's why we pick it. And the New American Standard is also pretty popular among the Protestant Christians. So how about let's read the New International Version and the Recovery Version. Let's compare them. Let's read the first one.
To be put into effect
when the times will have reached their fulfillment,
to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
Okay, here I'd like to point out, in the original Greek text, there's one very important word called oikonomia. You can see that, right? Oikonomion there. That word is a big word. It's a great word in the Bible. However, in New International Version, it didn't really translate it. It kind of explained it in its own way. So it put into effect. Which is quite hard to understand anyway. But the New American Standard is still a little better. It translates into administration, which is okay, which is all right. But the Recovery Version translates, I would say, faithfully to what the word was, is economia, which is how the English word economy came from, right? Okay, but today we're not comparing translation. Today we're comparing footnotes. Cross-reference. Footnotes is tomorrow, yeah. So, you see, New International Version doesn't have any cross-reference for that word. Perhaps it doesn't think that it needed any cross-reference. And the same with New American Standard. But Recovered Version has Ephesians 3:9. Who among you know Ephesians 3:9? Raise your hand. If you know Ephesians 3:9, you know that's a great, perhaps one of the greatest verses in the New Testament. It talks about God's eternal purpose. And then so that verse revealed that there's an economy of the mystery hidden throughout the ages. So that word is also economia. So now you can see why recovery linked that verse to this verse. Because this verse is talking about God wants to do something until this economy is fulfilled unto the fullness of the time. Then the recovery link you to that verse, is so the same word appear again in 3:9. So right away you can see, well, Paul is talking about the same thing. Well, he was using the same Greek word. So it makes sense that he was talking about the same thing. And then 1 Timothy 1:4 is even, you know, it's a great, great verse again. A great, Paul was there charging Timothy, you should exhort the older Christian not to teach anything other than God's economy. God's economy. So why does Paul link that? Because Paul was talking about God's economy there. And here, he was also talking about God's economy. So here, right away, you can see Paul has this, not Paul, the editor of Recovered Version, or the author of the footnote, or the cross-references, had the eye, had a spiritual eye, to see how these three passages are linked together by this one word, economy. And he has the eye to see how this word is crucial, it's important. It cannot go without any cross-references. Otherwise, you won't see how these Bible passages are linked together. Okay, and the next slide will show even more clear. So next is 1 Timothy 1:4. Okay, let's compare these two passages. How about we read again, New Intentional Version and Recovered Version. Nor to devote themselves to myth and endless genealogies. These promote controversy rather than God's word, which is by faith. Okay, before we read down, yeah, I think even if you don't know Greek, this is so simple, you will learn Greek tonight. So that word is economia, right? Same word again, right? And then the second word is theo, right? It's theos. So theos means God, right? So what does that mean? Economy and God. So it means God's economy, right? The economy of God, right? So we all learned some Greek tonight. But then you see the New Intentional Version translates into God's work. You know, so you see, again, it's not as good. It really dilutes the meaning. You know, God's word, it really diluted. But then New American Standard do better again. Let's read it. Nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God which is by faith. Which is good because the first time, remember, they translate administration. So this time, they again use the same word. But let's read the Recovered Version. Nor to give heed to myths and unending genealogies which produces questionings rather than God's economy, which is in faith. Now, let's focus on the cross-reference. So in both versions, they point out to Ephesians 3:2, which is good, because in Ephesians 3:2, talk about Paul's stewardship. And actually, stewardship is the same word in Greek as economia. It's the same word. So to God is his economy, which means his plan. To us, believer, it is our stewardship for us to carry out. We should carry out God's economy. So that is good. But however, if you see here, 1:10, today we don't have a time to get into all the verses, but you will see that these verses are all the crucial verse in the New Testament about God's economy. 1:10, 3:9, and if you go to 1:10 or 3:9, they will also, Colossians 1:25, 1 Corinthians 9:17, these two verses talk about the stewardship. And then if you go to those verses, it will link you to 3:2. So here, you have two instances of economy and two instances of stewardship, right? So again, economy is from the perspective of God. Stewardship is from the perspective of believers. But actually, it's talking about the same thing. It's the same word. So here, again, you can see the editor of the Recovered Version linked these crucial words together. So by reading the cross-references, you will be enlightened. While Paul was talking about stewardship, but actually, this stewardship is just God's economy. So Paul is not doing something else on his own. He's just carrying out what is God's desire, which is called God's economy. You know, I wouldn't be able to know this until I read the cross-references. So that's how precious the cross-references are. And then now, one more example. Let's read Galatians 1:23. How about this time? This time, all three versions translate into faith. So it's okay. Let's just read Recovered Version. But they only heard this. He who was formerly persecuting us is now announcing as the gospel the faith which formerly he ravaged. Oh, here is a great example now. Do you see what the difference? What the difference? Right, so this is an important word. Right? Paul is talking about, right, now people heard that he is now announcing, right, the faith that he used to denounce. But what is this faith? Well, these two versions link you to two verses, and which are good, because the two verses also talk about faith, also use the same word, faith. But what is the recovered version doing here? So many verses, right? What are they? Okay, let's read on the next explanation. Let's read together. For example, Paul's references B on the word faith in Galatians 1:23 links this verse with other New Testament verses that relate to faith in the objective sense, that is, to the faith as the content of the complete gospel according to the New Testament revelation. So here is how the understanding of the revelation of the Bible come into play. Here, the author of the cross-reference and recovered version had understanding that faith in the Bible, New Testament, actually have two definitions. One is subjective, one is objective. And just a simple word, this is on the table, this is objective to me. So you can say that is objective faith, which is the entire Bible, the objective faith. But one day when I see it, I say, I believe it, right? I see it, I believe it, I receive it into me. That very act of receiving, that very act of receiving something into me, that becomes subjective, that becomes my faith. But however, most Christians may not realize this, and I believe the author of that two other versions, they did not see that. So they didn't realize that there is such a fine distinction, which was, however, a very important distinction, to realize that there are two kind of faith in the Bible. So that the previous one, all the listed cross-references gave us the second kind, the first kind, objective faith. Now let's read this together. The footnote on the word faith says, the faith here and in all the verses references implies our believing in Christ, taking his person and his redemptive work as the object of faith. The faith replacing the law by which God dealt with people in the Old Testament became the principle by which God dealt with people in the New Testament. This faith characterized the believers in Christ and distinguished them from the keepers of law. This is the main emphasis of this book. The law of the Old Testament stresses letters and ordinances, whereas the faith of the New Testament emphasizes the spirit and life. Hallelujah! The faith of the New Testament emphasizes spirit and life. So I think by this footnote, you will really appreciate how wonderful and how important it is to distinguish these two kinds of faith. Yeah. Now, my time is really up, but I have to cover the second point. The chart, I will go as fast as possible, but you just have to bear with me. All right, the recovered version contains charts and important truth. So in most of the study Bible, you also got a lot of kind of charts, you know, or maps. But the recovered version, the charts are really, I would say, they are priceless. They are invaluable. So they are four main charts, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. We're going to quickly look at three today. Okay, the first one, God's New Testament economy. What is this? Actually, what you're looking at right now, this is the entire Bible. Can you believe that? Well, the entire New Testament. You know, the New Testament can be divided chronologically. So most people divide it from Gospel to Acts together as one group, and then from Epistles as one group, and then Revelation as the third group. But however, again, the author of the recovered version had a spiritual insight to see that actually the whole New Testament just presents to us a living person, which is Jesus Christ. So if you are going to divide the whole New Testament, you better divide according to this person, not according to this time or that kind of chronology, but according to Jesus Christ. So here you see Jesus Christ in three stages. Again, I don't have time to get into it. I encourage you to study it, okay? So in this chart, you can see the New Testament economy, which means God's plan. And the second chart, again, we don't have time, but most of Christians also are confused between the kingdom of the heavens and the kingdom of God. They thought the two things are synonym, are the same thing, but actually they are not. If you read the Bible, you know they are not the same thing. So here, this chart gives you a clear picture of how are they different and where are we today. Just a little bit. So today, the center one? Right. So you see, today, this is the small circle. You see that? That is hopefully what we will be. It's the reality of the kingdom of the heavens. And the bigger circle is the appearance of Christendom. Means all the Christian or professed Christians. And eventually, this small circle will become this circle, the heavenly part, the kingdom age. Again, we don't have time, but anyway, so these are wonderful unveiling to us the hidden truth in the Bible, which, you know, all the verse references are here. You can look them up. And finally, praise the Lord, right? We need a whole day, right, to get into this chart. And this chart really, really is $1 million, really is priceless. If you study church history, you know, from the 19th century on, people fight over this matter, fight over the matter of 7 weeks, especially the rapture. So some say, you know, we will get raptured before the tribulation. Some say it will be after the tribulation. Some say it will be in the middle of the tribulation. Well, actually, all three are right. Actually, they just all see only part of the Bible. So they fight against one another. You know, what a pity. But today, what we have is the entire truth. We have the complete picture. So here you see the first group, that's a pre-tribulation. Then you have in the middle, or close to the end, that's the majority of the believer. And at the end, Christ will also come back, and then it's not called rapture now. It's called just resurrection to be judged at the judgment. So again, the chart like this really just dispel a lot of the misunderstanding, a lot of the unnecessary arguments, and really give us a clear view of what the truth is. Okay, the last conclusion. That's declare it with a strong spirit. Amen. Amen. The cross references of the Recovery Version Bible are a unique and invaluable study in that they not only lead the reader to verses with similar expression and facts, but also to portions with related spiritual truth and divine revelation, thus helping the reader to see the overarching vision of God's eternal economy, which is God's plan to dispense himself into man for the producing of the body of Christ, consummating in a new Jerusalem. And then the charts. The charts of the Recovering Version Bible, similarly, are a tremendous help to the reader in gaining a clear, systematic, bird's eye view of deeper and more complicated biblical truth on great subjects such as God's New Testament economy, the kingdom of the heaven, the kingdom of God, the 70 weeks, the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the saints, etc. Consequently, the vision of God's eternal economy is also made more apparent to the reader through their careful study of God's word. Right? So I hope after this presentation you are convinced. Right, the Recovered Version Bible is really, really wonderful. Amen. And I hope that all of you, if you don't have a Recovered Version yet, I hope you'll get one today. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.